right, you primitive screwheads. Listen up.
Guys, we have a code red.
You mean code red the hospital emergency alert, code red the computer worm, or code red the cherry flavored soft drink from makers of Mountain Dew?
One ring to rule them all.
One ring to find them.
Oh, Jesus. One ring to bring them all.
And in the darkness, bind them.
Do you know what the problem is with you kids today? You guys think that all science fiction started in 1977 with Star Wars.
Where's my super suit?
What?
You tell me what I thought he was, woman!
What about movies like Forbidden Planet, The Day the Earth Stood Still, Solaris? What about Logan's Run? Did you ever see that?
No, it's probably some dumb sports movie anyway.
Sports movie?
Okay, we gotta put a spotlight on this geek stuff, man.
What the fuck are you bitches babbling about?
We need to bring this to the mainstream, to the people.
Wow, this is even better than I imagined.
We have to show the world that it ain't just about comics and toys.
I have to possess this comic.
Hey, I tried to teach you how to handle comics in the sixth grade, but oh no, you wanted to play Little League instead.
Looks like a really rich fourth grader lives here.
Look at this
place, man.
Go look.
You've got a billion toys.
I have a Mego Isis action figure.
Isis.
We're not about dressing up as Green Lantern.
How often does one see a beloved fictional character come to life?
Every year at Comic-Con.
And hoping for that one day, that one cracking day, for Cylons to bring us down impossible space-age future shit.
That's exactly what it's about.
Oh, really? Yeah, this shit ain't gonna work.
Oh, man! I'm still geeking out about it!
All right, look. There's only one return, okay? And it ain't of the king, it's of the Jedi.
Looks like we got more Lucas hounds here to mock Roddenberry.
You'll have to excuse him. He's not down with the trilogy.
There's only one trilogy, you fucking morons.
Oh, Star Wars geek.
Oh, I'm the geek? Look at you two whipping out your preciouses.
I'm gonna kick your ass back to the Shire if you don't shut your fucking mouth.
We're the stars of this piece of shit!
All right, guys, you have your mission. Go forth and wreak havoc.
I say we stay here and fight it out.
Come on, you fuckers think that just because a guy reads comics he can't...
Oh, fucking take all you want. I got a Spider-Man t-shirt. I got Converse.
Hello, gentlemen.
Yes, I'm so ready.
And it's plural this time.
That's right, gentlemen.
Oh, indeed.
Well, I could have said sir and question of and person
Sarah.
Of questionable gender.
All right. I want to, you know, you told me not to, but now after that joke, I want to apologize to the transgender community.
We forgive you.
For the insensitive remarks that both OG and Big Cap made on this program.
What were the insensitive remarks?
In my absence.
What were the
you
insensitive?
You know, trivializing such an important thing.
How is it trivializing?
As one's own gender identity.
How is it trivializing?
Well, I am not currently going through any sort
that's,
of
you don't have to admit anything to us.
Gender.
That's fine. That's fine.
Which again, if I were, would be totally
we are
know,
comfortable
acceptable.
With you in whatever form you take.
Speaking as
take,
someone.
Okay, let me put my horns away for a moment. Okay, I'm a little uncomfortable now.
Is that like a euphemism?
No.
Put your horn away?
No, euphemism.
No,
at all.
He's having the horn removed is what I heard.
Whoa.
That's a little, I wasn't trying to be so direct.
Oh, I'm sorry. Listen, speaking as someone who has both been in
and
involved
and
in multiple productions of Rocky Horror Picture Show and has been referred to as a tranny
on
multiple occasions.
Oh, that counts.
I think I have the right.
Wow.
To say it.
Wow.
Plus, I said a tranny with an I.
Just really quick.
I said a tranny with an I, not with a Y.
Just really quick.
That makes it
this
okay.
This is about the fifth time that you have defended being prejudiced against a group by using the phrase, well, I had a friend who, because of this, it's okay.
Listen, that's...
I'm just pointing it out.
That's the bit, sir. That's the bit.
Fair enough.
That's the bit. See, in actuality, if we pull away the curtain, OG's not actually racist against many people. Not
some,
as many as we portray on this program.
That's right.
Fair enough. We up it. We exaggerate. Comedy.
Exaggerate. That's
comedy
it.
Is
comedy
exaggerated.
Is exaggerated.
That's absolutely.
I was channeling my inner Gary Oldman. That's what I was.
Fair enough.
Just like I'm not really angry all the time.
Well,
I don't hate everything, but we exaggerate. Exaggerate for the program. That's
sure.
what we do.
Is that that's what you do then?
That's what is done
all the time in preparation for the program. Fair, you're always in character. I appreciate that Daniel Day-Lewis level of dedication. We got Gary Oldman, Daniel Day-Lewis. We're going strong.
Good. And
Hollywood appearances on Big Kev's Geek Stuff. Episode
333.
And wow. Hillary Swank.
That's right.
Well played.
Thank you. Yeah. Thank you very much.
Korea versus Seth Rogen.
There you go. It's North Korea, isn't it? North Korea versus Seth Rogen is what we're calling the episode.
People's Democratic Republic. It's none of those things. Of
Kim Jong Rogen.
No.
Well, now we have to talk about it, so we might as well explain.
Yeah, so apparently Korea is ready to declare war on the United States if we do not stop the Seth Rogen. Is that Franco with him in that?
It is.
And James Franco flick about assassinating Kim Jong-un.
It's called The Interview, and the trailer looks mildly funny. I mean, it just looks like James Franco and Seth Rogen wanted to have a fun time.
Right.
Right. Did you see
like everything they
did
do?
Did you see This Is the End or, yeah,
absolutely.
Or whatever it is?
And The Neighbors. It's and the same creative
it's
thing.
It's the same kind of thing. Yeah. Okay. It's the same kind
just
of thing.
Just a farce. But it's a good point. I mean, journalists would be the best assassins. Which is the idea. James Franco has a talk show host. Seth Rogen's his producer. They send him to interview Kim Jong-un and kill the guy.
And Dennis Rodman.
That's true.
Especially in Korea's case.
Yep.
Just say.
Could have done the job.
He could have. If only he wasn't wearing a dress. But see how I
tied
that all.
Tied everything together, did you?
Wow.
Just a little package with Bo. Fantastic. So we have a tweet question and we have a voicemail.
Which one? Tweet question.
All right. So doesn't get a guy.
Nice.
Tweeted in.
Uh-huh.
Wanted to know what we or if we were gonna talk about DC's announcement this week for their plans to implement a new creator payment plan for new artists and going forward. So this is in regards to all of that, who owns the rights and
so what do we have any like broad overview?
Under the new plan, royalties, referred to as participation by DC, will now be based on the book's net revenue through various distribution channels, including digital, rather than on its cover price. According to a letter sent to the talent, this change gives us more flexibility to sell our material in new distribution channels that have different pricing models.
Right.
Digital sales and physical sales, which were previously tabulated separately, will now be factored in tandem when determining if a book has reached a threshold eligible for a participation payment. An unspecified threshold for collected editions will also be added. Amongst other things.
That sounds like, at least on the surface, it sounds like a good deal for the creators.
Yeah, I think that this is a response to the unrelenting crybaby families of creators who created content as pay for hire. I'm sorry, I'm in the pay for hire camp. I know that a lot of people think that I'm crazy and that, you know, I'm like saying fuck you to artists, but I honestly believe that back in the day, artists like, you know, the Siegel family and the Kirby family, I believe that those guys at the time created content for Marvel, and as a result, Marvel now
own that creative content.
Now, should Marvel do the right thing by the families? That's a different story.
Right.
That's ethics. That's not legality.
Right.
I am, you know, if you're a scientist working for X company and create a new medication, you created that medication for X company. They paid you to create that medication. It's theirs. You don't own that.
Unless your name is on the patent.
Right.
Let's say you work for a technology company and you created some technology. And you signed an agreement when you were hired by that company that said that if you created technology while you work for us, we own it.
Yes, but if it was enough of a big deal on social media, you would change your policy anyway in order to appease your people so they buy more shit.
Right. So my point being really is that I think that DC now is recognizing that there are problems with what has existed and is attempting to maybe figure out a way to correct it. This isn't going to change the past, in my opinion. Although, is it the Kirby family that's going back in front of the Supreme Court again?
I think it's the Siegel family.
Oh, is it the Siegel? I'm sorry, the Siegel family.
Yeah,
no, it's Marvel related.
Is it?
Yeah, it's Marvel related. Oh. Going.
Is it the Kirby family?
I think so.
I thought they were at peace, but
no.
Okay.
No. So anyway, I think it's good on DC's part. So it doesn't get a guy. There you go. Also, he told me about a book that I feel as though I need to check out now.
Okay.
Rat Queen? Is that the name of the book? Shit, I can't remember.
Rat Queen?
Yeah,
Bomb Queen?
No. It's definitely Rat. I think it's Rat Queen.
Rat Queen.
I will look it up, but it's up to its sixth or seventh issue.
Okay.
Comes out by Image. It's fantasy-based, and it looks fucking awesome. So I'm going to seek out the first trade, because the first trade is out.
Oh.
So there you go.
That's cool. Well, that's
a good and how are you going to seek that out? Are you going to go to a local comic book store and see if they have that trade?
Rat Queens.
It's as local as it could be.
Rock Upchurch is the artist. But it's
Rock
Queens,
Upchurch.
ROC. It's not as
it's
bad.
Still
as,
rock.
It's not as bad as Drew Blank.
Yeah, we were just talking about
that. We don't
know
if that's a real name.
Yeah, we don't know if it's a real name.
Drew Blank.
All right. Let's get into the voicemail then.
Can sure.
Should we address the voicemail?
Yeah.
Hey, Big Kev, OG, and Scapegoat. Guys, this is superfan David D. And I got a question for you. Last week, tickets for New York Comic Con went on sale at about noon. And all four-day passes sold out in probably about 2 hours. And that was a big bummer because I wanted to get three for myself and my two sons, and I couldn't get any. And now I'm finding out that the weekend before was Special Edition New York, and those tickets were on sale at Special Edition New York. Do you have anything? Can you verify this, that the actual passes were on sale there? Because what I found out is if you went to Special Edition New York, you had first come, first serve on the four-day passes. Which, again, is a real drag. I've gone about 3 or 4 years in a row, wanted to do the four-day thing, and I've been sold out of them. By the way, I was not at Special Edition New York. I am a New Yorker. I went to the Eternal Con on Long Island, Long Island's own Eternal Con, that went from 1 day to 2 days. And I would recommend this convention wholeheartedly. You should come out to Long Island and go to it. People like Ray Park were there. And the guy who played Colossus in the X-Men movie and a bunch of other people. And I even hosted two panels, which I'll tell you about on some other call. So anyway, the three-day tickets go on sale this week. I'll give it another try. If I can't get enough three-day tickets, I think I'm giving up on New York Comic Con. Sorry, guys. It's getting too big. Hopefully I'll get them and have a better call back. Anyway, enjoy the show. Listen to it every week. Keep up the good work, fellas. Take care.
Is that a Stitch ice pack on your foot there, Scapegoat? Hmm?
We are recording.
I know.
Oh, okay. That's no, it's an elephant.
Oh.
But
you have, a little boo-boo, do you, Scapegoat, on your foot there?
Boo earns. Let's address superfan, self-proclaimed superfan, Dave D.
Uh-huh.
Is he a superfan?
I like superfan Dave D as a title.
It
you know what I mean? It rolls. Like, yeah. Superfan Dave D.
I feel as though Superfan Dave D has called the show before. Like, I recognize...
That's a wrestler name.
His accent.
Superfan Dave D. That's like a cool wrestler name from, like, the 90s.
Right. It is. He would be...
There's got to be a wrestler that has that cadence, which is why I'm thinking of it, but I don't know what it is.
Superfan
like, da-da-da-da-da-da, you know.
So Superfan Dave D.
Uh-huh.
Had two things.
Two.
First, Eternal Con in Long Island.
Yes.
Sounds like it's a growing con.
That was actually second.
I know, but I want to address the other thing second.
Yeah, we should actually check that con out.
I would love to.
So Superfan Dave D, if you'll drop us some info on when that con happens next, maybe I can get OG out of the house and Scapegoat to accompany me.
I leave once in a while.
Perhaps.
It's Hermit the Crab over here that never leaves. All right.
Hermione the Crab.
Hey, listen.
Wow.
Maybe he took Polyjuice Potion. We don't know.
Wow.
But the reason I addressed that first is because he said that con went from 1 to 2, right?
Yeah.
Which I think ties into...
Days.
The 1 to 2 days.
Yeah.
I think that ties into the first topic, which is New York Comic Con
has
growing.
Has gotten out of hand.
Right? And so his specific question was the 4-day VIP and regular passes did go on sale and did in fact sell out.
Uh-huh.
But he wanted to know specifically, were they on sale?
At Special Edition.
Special Edition.
Yeah.
And the answer to that is yes. If you are at Special Edition, your badge entitled you to buy one pass for
New York Comic
Con. For New York Comic Con. It was 1 4-day pass. It was a non-transferable pass. You cannot buy 6 passes or 4 passes.
Right.
Is it a bad move? Is it a good move? I could understand why guys like Superfan Dave D would be pissed. However, I kind of understand why New York Comic Con would do it as well. I don't think that they needed to do it, though. I think that it was going to sell out regardless.
You know, there are a lot of things which we're not going to discuss today, but we perhaps will be discussing
soon
in upcoming weeks with regards to New York Comic Con that are very, very disturbing.
Very.
So we'll be discussing those in upcoming weeks. and we'll be discussing what, if any, our participation in New York Comic Con will be.
Dun, dun, dun.
There's a little teaser for you. So,
that said, they're a great organization.
Yeah, I'm not really worried.
Please, please save us.
Not really worried about them listening to podcasts.
I know.
So, moving on.
No, no, but I want to tell him I have some more information for
Super
him.
Dave D. Super so, fan Dave D.
So, I have some good news for you.
Now you're getting into radio voice there.
Super fan Dave D.
Super fan Dave D.
If you go to the New York Comic-Con website and you click on the link for tickets, you will see that there is some information regarding four-day tickets going on sale later this summer at select retailers. And there were a bunch of retailers in both New York and New Jersey that I recognized. Now, I don't know if there are more outside of that right. region, but they will have four-day passes. So, Superfan Dave D, go check out that link. Check out that list. Keep your eyes peeled to the New York Comic Con Twitter feed, website. And this show will make the announcement if I hear about it. And, you know, hopefully one of your local retailers is on that list and you can go and get a four-day pass or multiple four-day passes.
Yep.
So cool. There you go. There's some information.
Look, we're helping out the fans.
You know, we do that. We do that.
Yeah. Come on. Call in.
You know what? Oh, no. Go ahead.
The GVM line?
425-920-6050.
That was a clusterfuck of epic proportions, but I liked it.
All right.
Synergy.
I like the enthusiasm.
It was. It was enthusiastic. Occasionally, we all plug.
Enthusiasms.
All right.
Enthusiasms.
Let's move forward.
Shall we?
Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles.
That still exists.
Featuring Shredder Prime.
Is that what it is now? Shredder Prime?
Or Megatron Prime.
It's Edward Ninja Hands. Edward Ninja Hands.
Isn't it Shredward Ninja?
Shredward Ninja Hands. So the trailer came out.
Uh-huh.
Or the new trailer came out.
The one that's already that was attached to
the one that was attached to How to Train Your Dragon 2, I believe, has gotten a full release online. Is what?
Oh,
we
good.
Say.
I haven't actually seen it yet.
We get a much better view of Splinter.
Yes.
True. Yes.
He looks like a rat
and not a weasel.
And quite honestly, not a badger. And quite honestly, I'm actually okay with the design for Splinter.
For Splinter.
We get a good look at Edward Ninja Hands in action with his Ginsu knife hands, retractable Wolverine claws that he has.
God damn it.
I'm not okay with that design. As Scapegoat pointed out to me prior to the show, Whoopi Goldberg and Megan Fox.
Yeah, they actually kind of, I guess, insult themselves. A little cute nod to the fans. There's a point, you know, every fucking trailer, there's a little comic relief moment for no reason. And Whoopi Goldberg is like, is there anything you have to tell me? What are they, aliens? And she goes, no, that would be stupid, which is clearly alluding to all the rumors from before.
Right.
I mean, I'm sure this is a movie we're all going to see and then regret seeing.
Wait, hold on. Whoopi Goldberg is in this movie?
Yeah, I think
she's going for the EGOT, okay? She has
not with
one.
This
she has one, she needs another.
I know, I was going to say, she already has the EGOT.
Yeah,
I believe she works for the television studio. I think that might be what it is. I think she might be like Megan Fox and Will Arnett's boss.
Oh, does that mean she's in this movie? My question still stands then.
I'm just saying what I think her role might be.
Did we see the Turtles?
We did see the Turtles.
In their full roided out glory.
Yeah, I still don't.
They look humongous.
You know what?
I'm
still mixed on the size of them.
I don't care about the size. It's the design in general.
They don't. They look creepy.
Yeah, did you see the fan redesign?
Yes, it was amazing.
Way better.
Do you know what the fan redesign was? A nose and lips.
Yeah.
That was it. They gave them a nose and lips.
Yeah.
Instead of the lizard nose from Amazing Spider-Man 1. And the lack of lips. Oh, actually, I guess the lack of lips, too. It really is a lizard redesign from Amazing Spider-Man.
Okay.
Yeah, yeah. Creepy. Fucking slits for nose and no lips. Fucking looks like a melon on their heads. Like someone carved a face in a honeydew and put a bandana on it. That's what it is.
It's just weird.
Wow, I can't wait for that art to start rolling in.
Although
someone cut up a honeydew with a bandana over the eyes. Okay, like. Contest time.
Cowabunga dudes.
The best. We're going to give a prize away for the best, what did you say, honeydew? The best honeydew melon cut to look like a new Ninja Turtle face.
Does cantaloupe count?
No.
I got to stick to honeydew.
Honeydew.
Honeydew melon.
We don't want the limited edition colors on the
face. I will allow and accept the completely round watermelons.
That would be fine.
But you have to do a honeydew as like Michelangelo and perhaps a watermelon as like Leonardo.
Or Raphael. Raphael's darker, right?
Right, yeah, 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 right. We got to get the different shades.
That's fine. So we will give a prize away. We'll give it 2 weeks. What's today's date? We'll give it 2 weeks from today.
No one is going
to
do this.
And, well, it could be a significant prize. They may want to contribute to this particular contest. We got an influx of prizes.
Today's the 25th, so you have until... July 9th.
Send us a photo to geekstuffog@gmail.com. Right. Make sure you open that email with "Hey Kev"
to get disqualified from
and the send us a picture of your honeydew or watermelon to look like a brand new Ninja Turtle head from the movie with bandana.
That's right.
With colorful bandana. And you could win a very nice prize. I'm not going to say what it is. But it's a very nice prize.
I will say that I still may buy steampunk Donatello when the figure comes out. I actually did go to Toys R Us today to try to find one. And
steampunk Donatello.
Yeah, the goggles that he's wearing kind of look steampunky.
Movie?
Yeah.
Oh, do they have movie figures out yet?
I think they're starting to hit.
Oh, really?
So I actually went to TRU today, but they did not have them.
Did you see any Guardians toys?
I did not. I
think I'm going to get those 6-inch Guardians toys. I did not. They're pretty banging.
I did not. No, the only toy I bought today at Toys R Us was for my son.
Boo.
And I got to say, Spin Master Toys, who's putting out this particular line of toys for my son, Spin Master Toys, creating chase figures with one per packs, low package toys for 3-year-olds. Fuck you, Spin Master.
Wow.
I'm just throwing it out there.
They're getting them started.
No, fuck you. My 3-year-old doesn't understand chase figure. He just knows that he's missing two toys from your line, and you're one per casing. Three of one figure, three of another figure, and then one of the third figure. No, fuck you. How about that?
Can I put this out there?
Yeah, do it.
That link I sent you to the online store, what are those turtles?
The Revoltech turtles. Yeah. I've seen pictures of these since Toy Fair. They're amazing.
They are amazing. They're amazing. $60 a pop.
I don't care.
Wow.
I want them all.
Are you actually going to get
them? I think so.
Did you see?
At minimum, I have to get Donatello.
I know, but
I think that I'll go the line.
I think the line or the set price was pretty decent. I
know.
Thought.
I want all of them.
Wow.
They're hyper articulated.
Yeah, really.
The sculpts are
amazing.
Fantastic.
Yeah, yeah.
The paint jobs are fantastic.
Let's make sure we get a picture of those up.
Absolutely. I've been salivating over these things since Toy Fair.
Who makes them?
Revoltech, but is it in conjunction with Bandai?
I don't know.
I think it's in conjunction with Bandai.
Okay.
I could be wrong on that. Someone will correct me.
They were
me,
pretty
sure.
amazing.
But they're awesome. Yeah, absolutely.
By the way, speaking of toys,
yeah.
Gentle Giant.
Yes.
Announced their first San Diego exclusive today.
I had that in the news. The Shadow Trooper. Oh, no.
It is
a San Diego exclusive, but...
That's Jax.
Oh, I'm sorry. You're right. That's Jax.
The big giant 31-inch.
It's the AT-AT.
The AT-AT driver jumbo figure is the first exclusive to be revealed by Gentle Giant. That's really exciting and surprising as hell. Because their exclusives have been pretty much, you know, kind of special. Like, they did Blue Snaggletooth and, like, wasn't Yak Face last year?
Yeah, but AT-AT Driver was in that original line. Isn't that kind of where they're... Wasn't he? Oh, no, AT-AT Driver wouldn't have been until Empire, yeah.
Yeah, he was in... No, they've gone past that
now. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
They have licenses to do all of those
them.
Figures.
That's right.
Which is why Blue Snaggletooth made a lot of sense. Oh, no, one of the special ones was the Christmas Yoda.
Right.
Which was great. And I'm kind of surprised that they picked a mainline sort of figure to do here.
I don't know. Good for them.
No, I'm not saying it's a bad idea. Just I'm kind of surprised that it's an exclusive. That's all. If it's going to be exclusive to every outlet con, that would make a little more sense.
Think about it this way. It could be because they don't plan on they're going to produce less of it than the rest of the run.
Right.
And so exclusives have a tendency to sell
to
a smaller audience than a mass audience. So a character like Boba Fett, you could sell 500 of. AT-AT Driver, maybe only sell 200
of. But Boba Fett was their first exclusive.
No, I understand that. But I'm just thinking that they're thinking that perhaps it won't sell quite as well as the other figures. And so making an exclusive means they could do a smaller production run.
I guess.
Move all of the product and it'll be... you know, I'm trying to think from that, like,
yeah, I got you.
Retailer, yep. Just angle.
I'm glad I'm a member of the Premier Guild.
There you go.
Because I get to order mine.
You're golden.
And that's one down and at least two or three to go, right, that I'm just going to pay out the ass for.
Well, we mentioned the Jax exclusive now, too. So we
Should 31-inch Shadow Trooper.
Which is just a black Stormtrooper.
Just a black Stormtrooper. They're only making 500, though.
Doesn't make it any less cool. Yeah, but it's just a black
It's gonna be, and it's gonna be a bitch to ship.
Deco, there's like no deco, right? Other than the fact that it's black.
No, it's a straight up. It's a straight up stormtrooper. Have they done a straight up stormtrooper yet?
They did a clone trooper.
They did a clone trooper.
Troopers, right?
They did the blue clone trooper. I can't remember if that.
They did a blue and a red clone trooper. I believe
those were clone troopers,
right? And they did a Vader.
They did a Vader.
I don't think
they do a regular stormtrooper.
I don't think they've done a regular
stormtrooper. That just means a regular stormtrooper must be coming.
Of course. But again, I'm wondering if 500 of the shadow, mass run of the regular.
Probably, yeah.
You know.
But the shadow one looks really good. It's going to be tough to get, I think.
Absolutely.
I got to get it.
A few more trailers I wanted to throw out there real quick.
Let's all go to the lobby.
I was wondering.
We're
already in the lobby.
Let's all go to the lobby.
This is when we talk before we go into the movie.
That's right.
We've already got our candy. A snack.
We have our snacks. We were arguing over the turtles.
I didn't hear the music play for that segment.
It was low. It was in the mix.
Well, now I've just taken care of it then, haven't I?
So we mix in 7.1.
Transformers Rise of the Darkspark launch trailer debuts. This is the third game in the War for Cybertron, Fall for Cybertron.
Fall of Cybertron.
This is both a sequel to the second game and a somehow companion to the upcoming movie.
Wait, people care about movie tie-in games?
On occasion.
This is not really a movie tie-in game per se.
It is sort of, but it's really more about being the third in that other, in that line of games. And those games, to be quite honest with you, have been really fun to play.
Yeah,
and great.
I remember playing the first one and enjoying it.
The mechanics on them are amazing, and they look beautiful.
This is the one that they actually took the ILM models, right, and down-res them or whatever.
And it was all that like pre-Earth. It was designs, it's all the old.
There's none on display here in Studio Q.
There's a Soundwave.
Oh yeah, there
a Bumblebee and a Prime on the Transformer shelf down there.
Yeah, yeah,
gotcha.
So yeah,
cool.
Studio Q changes so often, and I lose my place.
Well, you got to keep it fresh.
I understand.
Rotate some stuff around.
Gotcha.
And then the final trailer, which may not apply to our audience as a whole, but maybe. And certainly to you, it applies.
Oh, my God, yes. It should apply to our audience as a whole.
The Last of Robin Hood, starring Kevin Kline as Errol Flynn.
Uh-huh.
Looks really good.
So this is Errol Flynn at the end of his life.
Right.
And career. So we're talking about the really, probably the, I imagine they're going to cover late 50s, early 60s. He died in like 61, I think, something like that. And it's probably something to do maybe with the last movie he made, which was called Cuban Rebel Girls. And if you've never seen it, it is horrendous.
It absolutely involves Cuban Rebel Girls because you can see that in the trailer.
Oh, great. Yeah.
And it's 1958, 59, 60
is the time frame. So it also deals with his last wife, who was significantly younger than he was, being portrayed by Dakota Fanning in the movie, if I'm not mistaken.
That's significantly younger. Beverly Adlin was the actress.
Who I believe she dead now. She might be dead too now at this point. But absolutely amazing. If you don't know who Errol Flynn is, you've clearly never listened to this show.
Right.
A and ever. B. You know, he is one of your first action heroes.
Yes.
Adventures of Robin Hood, Captain Blood, all the great action films of the. Well, late 30s and 40s, and it's kind of into the early 50s was maybe the last couple of ones that were really good. Westerns also he did a lot of. So, yeah, you definitely want to check out. This is a Hollywood icon, and you've heard expressions like in like Flynn, all about Errol Flynn and his dalliances with younger ladies and how he was cleared of all sorts of charges. And He's had a fascinating life. He's been accused of being a Nazi spy. He's been
crazy shit,
like crazy stuff. Yeah, and he, you know, had romances with everybody, and like he's just a fantastic character. And this kind of gives you the end period of his life, which was kind of the sad, really sad in the bottle end period of his life. Another movie you can check out, I don't remember the title off the top of my head, featured the very beginning of his life and career with Guy Pearce portraying Errol Flynn. And for those of you that saw the Scorsese film The Aviator, you know that Jude Law portrayed right. Errol Flynn very briefly in a scene or two in that movie, which I thought was perfect casting.
Is My Favorite Year, is that?
No.
Is Flynn in that as well?
No. My favorite year is Mel Brooks' recollections. It's basically a story Mel Brooks used to tell about Errol Flynn being on Your Show of Shows.
Right, okay.
Which was Sid Caesar's show. And they took that story that he used to tell, you know, like a party yeah. story. They took that story and made a movie out of it.
But doesn't someone portray Errol Flynn in the movie?
Not Errol Flynn.
Okay. It,
the character is Alan Swan.
Yes.
Right?
Yes.
Alan okay. Swan. And it's not the Sid Caesar Your Show of Shows. It's King Kaiser.
Right.
In the I can't remember the name yeah, of the show yeah, okay. now. But it's a parody of his recollections of dealing with a drunk past his prime, Errol Flynn. Okay. Doing live TV in the 50s.
Right, right.
That's what okay. it is.
All right. So, and actually, Kevin Kline, I think, is perfect casting for that.
Perfect.
The trailer looks really good.
Yeah.
Looks really good. I'm actually very interested in seeing
yeah,
it.
Yeah, so. I cannot wait. I've said for years, if an older Flynn had to be portrayed, I've always said Kevin Kline yeah. would be great for it.
Qua.
This just reminded me that it's totally unrelated.
Okay.
Oh, good.
Of a trailer that we may have missed.
Okay.
You can correct me if I'm wrong. In front of Days of Future Past, there was a trailer for what is the name of that movie? Ah, fuck. It's British. It is directed by Matthew Vaughn. It is based on a graphic novel. You don't know what it is.
No idea.
You have no idea what it is. No one knows what it is. His Majesty's Her Majesty's fuck. Well, that
Her Majesty's Secret Service?
No. But you know I know what he's talking about, but I don't remember. Now?
Yeah,
the other thing while Scapegoat's looking that up, possibly.
Well, that went badly.
there was something else. There was a new Interstellar trailer also.
No, there wasn't.
Yes, there was.
No, there wasn't.
I didn't see it if there wasn't.
There was a new Dawn of the Planet of the Apes TV spot.
There was.
Yes, there was. There was a new Interstellar trailer, though.
Are you sure?
Yeah, pretty sure.
I don't think so.
That's what I heard.
There was a Fury trailer.
There was a Fury trailer.
Brad Pitt's World War II movie.
Nope.
And Brad Pitt and Joseph Gordon-Levitt. No. Yeah? Who now? Is it Shia LaBeouf? Joseph Gordon-Levitt? Who's in that?
No, Shia LaBeouf's not famous anymore. Don't you know?
Isn't Joseph Gordon-Levitt a little busy trying to make a Sandman movie starring him, directed by him, with help from Neil Gaiman?
Yeah, with Neil Gaiman.
It's called Kingsman: The Secret Service.
Okay, I'm not familiar
with
that.
Oh, yes. Yeah, I remember the trailer. Yeah, that looked pretty decent.
Yeah, with Samuel Jackson, Mark Hamill, Colin Firth, a bunch of people you've never heard of. It just looks really... Michael Caine's in it. It looks really awesome.
Let's...
Hello, I'm Michael Caine.
Let's talk about Rosario Dawson for a moment.
Sexy.
She will be starring in the new adaptation of Saga.
No. Although...
we were talking about
Although she would be excellent in the lead female.
I said that.
She would work very well in that.
Yeah. And can I say this, too? Bitch owes me a hot dog
from
San Diego Comic-Con like 7 years ago.
No, what she will be starring in is Daredevil, the Netflix Marvel series.
She will be a regular reoccurring character.
Not starring.
But we don't know who it is.
We don't know whom it is. A dedicated young woman whose quest to heal the wounds of Hell's Kitchen brings Matt Murdock unexpectedly crashing into her life, while her own journey forever alters the course of his battle against the injustices of this broken city.
So, this is the first casting news that I'm concerned about.
Really? Why?
Yes. I'm not concerned that it's Rosario Dawson. I'm concerned that they're starting to create characters to fill roles that where characters may already exist. I'm a little concerned about that. Now,
I don't know. That doesn't sound like a role that could be portrayed by another existing character to me.
What about Karen Page?
Maybe.
Isn't that character? Because I don't know. I mean, I could be remembering
who
wrong,
knows? Maybe she's going to be Karen Page.
Maybe she is. If it's Karen Page, I may even have the name wrong. The point is that it just, I'm a little concerned when they start doing stuff like this. Just a little bit.
I don't know. It's too soon for me to push the concerned button on that. For me personally.
We'll find out.
Yep.
Let's talk about Guardians of the Galaxy very quick.
Toys are not out yet.
Well, some people have them. James Gunn.
What? Who has them?
I've seen people post pictures of them online.
Really?
I actually really want the Funko Rocket Raccoon too. It's
kind of cute. Yeah, awesome. I like that. Yeah, I think I'm gonna get the 6-inch of the movie ones.
Yeah, yeah.
But you got to get all of them in order to get Groot. So I'll probably sell off the Iron Man, whoever the other guy is.
Isn't the other one Nova?
I don't think it's Nova.
I think it is.
Is it?
Yeah, I think so.
Did you hear about the Fillion rumor?
That's where I was going with
this. Oh, okay.
So James Gunn confirmed that Fillion is going to be in a small cameo in the movie.
But he is not Nova Prime.
He is not Nova Prime.
That sucks.
The rumor, he would be good as Nova Prime.
He's too fat to be Nova Prime now.
Well, he could lose
four
it.
Or five years ago.
But the rumor I heard today.
He got lazy on Castle.
Rumor I heard today, which I think is actually very funny.
Is it weird for him to be in a show that isn't going to get canceled?
Yeah. It's so far, Castle, longest running show that he's been involved in.
Yeah.
I heard a rumor today that he might be
what
doing.
What was the name of the other show he's in?
Crash, Race Lightning for Your Bug. Life, Charlie Brown. Yeah. What was it called? I don't know.
Lightning Bug.
It wasn't Lightning Bug.
That he might be voicing.
Oh, I see where you were going. Yeah. No, Fillion actually did another show on Fox that got
he did
canceled.
Crash was the.
I don't think it was Crash.
Drive.
Drive.
No, he was not in Crash. He was in Drive.
He was in Drive. Drive?
Yes, it was Drive.
It was like Cannonball Run, but they were all threatened under their lives. So instead of being funny, it was really serious. Yes. What was it? Three episodes before it got yanked.
This is terrible.
Rumor is that he might be voicing Cosmo. In the film, Cosmo is the Russian space dog that could speak telepathically.
Oh, yes.
With the rest of
that
the Guardians.
Sounds
really?
It's a silly character, but
that sounds absolutely ridiculous.
Listen, if it's a small, little, tiny cameo, it could be funny. That movie is absurd as it is.
No, it's. I can't wait. The more I see about it, the more I can't wait to
absurd.
See it.
Oh, speaking of the more I see about it, did you see the international trailer? I don't think we talked about it last week.
Oh, yeah. Didn't we post it?
I don't know if you posted it.
I posted it, yeah.
Did you see the international trailer?
I have not.
Totally different tone. The international trailer is so trying to not be the goofy movie that this is going to be.
So it tries to keep it serious?
Absolutely.
And it worked.
It worked. It looks great as a serious film. However, I don't think that it's going to be a serious film at all.
Do you know how good? Do you know how good it looked? Did you ever see the the recut trailer for The Shining as a romantic comedy and how well that worked.
Yeah.
It worked that well.
I think there's like several YouTube channels that are dedicated to just recutting like horrors. So does that mean that, this is one of the first international trailers we've come across that's actually different.
That I feel is significantly different.
Yeah, haven't we talked about this? Like a lot of the time it's the same, but they replace this character with that character.
There's six seconds of footage that's a different cut.
No, there's
correct.
No.
Completely
there's
different
no,
so who is this selling it to? A
I
Chinese
have no
audience?
Idea.
Like,
serious what? Europeans.
But there is no.
Europeans hate fun.
There is no Whitey Holes. There is no Uga Chaka. There is
it's straight up.
There's none of that. They call themselves the Guardian. None of that.
The funniest moment is Rocket Raccoon talks. And he said something innocuous, too. Yeah. Like, it's not even like he made a funny line. He's like, I don't have a long lifespan anyway or something. Whatever the line is.
Wow.
Like, and that's the funny moment.
Huh. I may actually check this out. That's very interesting, though. Like, it's actually kind of interesting.
It's worth checking out
for an international audience. Yeah.
Rian, how do you pronounce it? R-A-A-N.
Rian Johnson.
Is this actually true?
Yes.
Yeah. I can't believe this.
To direct episode 7.
No.
Eight and nine. And he's not confirmed to direct 9. He's confirmed to write.
8 and 9?
9. And work on 9. But he's not confirmed to direct 9. But he's definitely directing 8.
Who the fuck is this guy?
Well,
Looper.
I'll tell you. There is a movie called Brick.
Brick.
Which you should go see right now.
Yes, I've heard amazing things.
It is indie. It is not an action movie in any way.
Okay.
It has Joseph Gordon-Levitt in it when he's quite young, actually. And it's actually really well done.
So he likes Joseph Gordon-Levitt
in the early 2000s kind of situation. Yes, he's worked with him.
Because I've actually heard pretty decent things about Looper as well.
Yeah.
Although
so
I didn't see
did,
it. So.
He did. Looper is the bigger movie that he's worked on. But Brick was it's really well done. He's done, he did the music video thing for a little while.
Yeah, it's JJ just like, one and done.
He also directed a couple episodes of Breaking Bad.
He did. He directed Ozymandias, which is known as one of the greatest episodes of television, kind of period.
I don't know what JJ's deal is.
So.
was he so frustrated by this experience that he's like, no. fuck it, I'm out.
Maybe they want to get a different flavor for each
Maybe
one.
Maybe they want to get a... Can you blame them? That's what they did with the original trilogy, right, director-wise, and it made sense. Them,
but these unknown guys... I understand... Hold on. I understand casting the proposed Fantastic Four director to do the standalone film so that you yank him away from Fox further fucking the Fantastic Four movie. I get that. But casting this guy to do... an episode sequel of Star Wars when any number of people are out there who are much better known, but, who are much more...
But you know what? Maybe they don't want to overshadow it by the director's name.
That couldn't... If J.J. Abrams...
Going forward. They needed a big name, I think, to relaunch it.
Oh, no, they had one. It was called Harrison Ford. They did not need a big name director.
They needed a big director to relaunch. To build confidence in the franchise, to relaunch, they needed someone very well known.
I think they needed a really big person who's already rebooted something. Like, J.J. Abrams is the perfect pedigree to do a reboot of Star Wars. If otherwise, everyone's thinking, oh, great, we're going to have to go watch episode one again.
I agree with Scapegoat 100% on this one. However, getting away from the big names for the second one, again, if he's proven himself in these other films and he's respected, I have no problem with it.
We get like a medium name. Like this guy has done one questionable movie and a movie that apparently is
I gotta tell you, the interwebs blew up with excitement when they announced it.
Really?
Like huge praise. Looper, an amazing, holy shit, I can't believe it. This is awesome. This is gonna be great.
Looper, I think, developed kind of a cult following kind of thing. There's a lot of good touches in that movie. Like, for example, in every time travel movie, do you know what Looper is?
The time I do.
Travel
That's movie? The
Bruce Willis plays.
No, ruin it for us.
No, I'm not going to. But Bruce Willis plays older version of Joseph Gordon-Levitt. Joseph Gordon-Levitt, time traveler. They send people back in time to kill people as assassins.
And he sends him back to kill himself.
A little weird, sort of inventive, which is, I think, the whole point of getting this guy to do it. And one of the moments in every time travel movie, they talk about all the bullshit paradoxes or whatever. And there's just a moment in the movie where Bruce Willis and Rian Johnson, he puts this in the movie. He's like, we could just sit here fucking talking about this all day, but just, it works. Just trust me. And it's just a great moment of like, we're not going to go down the same road in every cliche that we're going to do in every other time travel movie. So I get why the internet's excited. I also see your point of who the fuck is this guy who directed one okay movie and one.
It's not like he's coming on board to do.
The question is, have we seen his treatment? Like, how do we not know that he actually has a really good second movie coming?
My questioning of it comes simply from this: he's not coming on board to do a Marvel Universe movie.
I understand.
Which I would understand, an unknown guy who did Thor 2. Exactly. No one can answer that question. But it was a great movie, and it was a tentpole movie, and that guy will probably get other gigs as a result.
I mean, come on, Captain America directors, they did Community before this?
Yeah, it wasn't.
And Arrested Development?
It wasn't fucking Star Wars, is what I'm saying.
I know. But Star Wars...
It's not the greatest franchise of all time,
but to everyone else, Star Wars doesn't have as much of a buy-in, I think, as some of the Marvel movies, is what I'm saying. Right now in time. If you look at the prequel trilogy.
Yeah, I get you. I get where you're coming from. And I don't necessarily agree, but I get where you're
coming. We're all feeling pretty good because J.J. Abrams is on it. We've seen all the stuff that's not digital. All the original casting, all that kind of stuff. I mean, we're all really excited about it, but I think people are still kind of like, well, let's see. I don't know.
Brett Ratner's out there, so all right. Oh, God. Hopefully getting murdered at this moment.
Shall we?
Should we take a break, maybe?
Let's finish this up. I've got like two more things I want to hit real quick. All right. And then I think our second segment might just be a little bit shorter tonight.
Okay.
It happens. Gotham. I don't want to talk about this in length, but
I don't get this at all. There were images
today new TV released. Spot.
Alan Taylor directed Thor 2, by the way.
Oh, there you go. There were images today of new character posters. Now, I don't know if I've just been under a rock or I just don't give a fuck, but this is the first time I've seen reference to Ivy. In the series. I think I heard that she was in the series, but maybe I didn't see the name.
Okay.
The name of the character in the series is Pepper Ivy.
No, Ivy Pepper.
Ivy Pepper. Ivy Pepper? No, yeah. I think it's the other way around, isn't it?
I thought it was Ivy Pepper.
I think it's Pepper
Ivy. Ivy Pepper is...
Either way.
Okay.
Why is that
either way,
her name
it's
now?
Dumb. What was wrong with Pamela Isley? You have Oswald Cobblepot. You have Selena Kyle. Edward Nygma has always been a goofy one, but you have... Why? What's the motivation behind changing it?
Yeah, I don't get it at all.
And if it's so that people figure out who she is, but again, Oswald, who's going to know Oswald Cobblepot is Penguin other than people who know? If that's the case, what did I say today? Oswald Waddlewalk. They could have named him.
It doesn't make.
Yeah.
Oswald Waddlewalk.
I mean, it just seems dumb and unnecessary to me. It seems like it's meddling. I don't like meddling. Pamela Isley is a fine name, and they could have run with it. That's all.
Joker? Any Joker sightings? Joker?
No Joker sightings.
Yeah, that's a kind of damn it's just not going to happen.
Chris Hemsworth has met with director Shane Black about potentially playing Thor. Doc Savage.
Oh. Oh, God. Really?
That's all I have to say about that.
Oh, wait. No, hold on. That's a Mike Uslan film.
So
I'm thinking. So it probably could be really good.
It could be.
Doc Savage as a character has never appealed to me in any way, shape, or form. There's a pulp character that I can't get behind at all.
Was Doc Savage part of the League of Extraordinary Gentlemen?
No.
He wasn't?
No.
Oh, I'm thinking of,
Quartermain.
I'm thinking of Quartermain. Yeah, no, I don't care.
I cannot get behind the character.
All right.
The Man of Bronze. I cannot, I don't get it. I don't see its appeal. I just don't get it. I hope he... Mike Uslan is a friend of this program, and I hope to God this movie is awesome. I really do. Because the last time, it was the fucking... What was it?
The Spirit.
The Spirit. And that was not a good movie. So I wish him all the best on this. I appreciate pulp characters just like the next guy. I would rather that he focused his energy on redoing The Shadow, honestly. I think that would have been a better choice than Doc Savage. And this movie has been trying to be made for
forever,
like 20 years.
Forever.
So.
Yeah. All right. Well, with that, let's take our first break.
Okay.
And come right back with Big Kev's Geek Stuff, episode 333.
North Korea versus Seth Rogen.
Hey, guys. It's Lena from the Jelly Empire. It was really awesome seeing you at the Blood Drop. Blood Type Positive show at Spoon Vinyl on Saturday, but I was just wondering, what happened to Scapegoat? Anyway, great show. Great to see you guys. Hope to see you soon. Bye.
It was lovely to see Selena.
It was.
She's lovely.
Yeah,
she is.
It would have been.
Yeah.
Well, that's your fault.
Where was Scapegoat?
Correct. I apologize.
Was Scapegoat?
I know.
Recovery.
I wasn't there.
Scapegoat is almost following in the footsteps of all the producers before him.
Hey, I didn't steal any equipment.
No. I was going to say, back this week. I was going to say, in regards to making
personal appearances. Yes.
With the exception of New York Comic Con, yes. Which you did attend all day.
Yeah, last year.
Last year.
Well, that's not going to be my fault. So I want to be very clear on that. Apparently, you can pick some up from your local retailers. Okay. We may be able to do that.
I didn't see our local retailer on that list. Mm-hmm. That's a problem. But it was lovely to see Selena. But yes, you were not there.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's a shame. Blood Type Positive show, though, was pretty awesome.
It was. And it was great to see the usual cast of...
Misbegotten...
You know,
fellas.
It's like Mos Eisley.
You know, a wretched hive of scum and villainy.
Joe Scarano, always good to see him. I saw Brian Albeck from Dead Hand Toys was there. Matt and Jacob Siegelbaum were there, had some pieces in the show.
The mayor was there.
The mayor always
Smack,
there.
Smack was also there.
That Lollipops were in attendance.
Yep.
At the show.
Yeah, Smack was also there.
I wanted to say that I also
Blink,
heard that
Blink
note.
Was also there.
Yes.
And I do feel more confident saying that. Where was this? Where was this lovely show?
This was at lovely Suburban Vinyl.
Where's that?
Beautiful Waldwick, New Jersey.
Well.
That's correct. And all of those pieces from, or I should say all, because a lot of them actually sold, a bunch of those pieces from the Blood Drive Positive show are available over at SuburbanVinyl.com.
There's still some great ones left. I'm surprised that a lot of those weren't snatched up.
I know.
And they were selling, like, people walking in the door going, that one.
Yep.
Yeah, pretty amazing.
My wife actually had interest in one.
Oh, yeah?
And procured one, I should say.
Is that right?
I will say that. I will have it on the show in a couple of weeks. When the piece
Which
comes
one?
On. The one with the gas mask. It was a Dave.
No way.
Dave,
really? Yeah,
Dave
I really
Webb.
Like yeah,
yeah,
really
the
like
red
that.
One with the gas mask. Yeah.
Why'd she get that?
She really liked it. I don't know.
Oh, there you go.
She really, really liked it.
No, cool.
It hit with her on some level. She was like, I'm down.
It was one of the pieces that I really enjoyed.
There you
so
go.
That actually works out.
Of course, Mike Nemo Mendez was there. It was his platform
right.
that was customized. But some great pieces. Of course, over at SuburbanVinyl.com, there was a coupon code if you go shopping.
Yeah.
And that is?
Big Kev.
And that will get you.
10% off your entire order.
That's right. And this coming Friday... the new Dunny 2014 series comes out, The Art of War.
Oh, God, I thought we were going to have to go back.
So you can grab those over there.
Along with your lollipop.
Along with your lollipop.
If you mention the show. Yeah, you can't just walk in and get a lollipop. You got to mention the show. The Art of War, have we talked about those? What do those look like?
We haven't. I don't know if I'm getting any yet. I want them. I'm not getting a case this year, that's for sure.
Okay.
But I'll definitely grab a couple. There's a Drill One piece that looks really cool. I think you'd probably like.
Oh, boy. That's what I want to hear.
The Kano piece is actually really cool. There's a couple of cool ones in there. I'll post some photos.
Okay.
And maybe we'll talk about them a little bit more in the coming weeks. I'll try to get back to Suburban and get a couple pieces myself.
Sure.
So yeah, I think we can move forward. I only have one thing comic related this week, and then like two things product, and then I think we're out. Unless you guys have
Saga?
Saga did come out this week, but no, I actually had comic related news that I was saving for this segment. Do you guys have something else that you want to discuss?
No,
Flash.
Something? We could talk about that.
Yeah.
You want to talk about that first, real quick?
No, go ahead.
Something that I think is fairly significant in a lot of ways.
Okay.
Starting this week.
Am I gonna like tear up the joint?
No, you know about this. Okay. You have to know about this at this point.
All right.
You have to know about this.
Let's see.
A very well-known Marvel artist has jumped ship to go over to DC. JRJR is starting his run on Superman with this week's issue.
Wow.
Yeah, and it looks fantastic. Wow. It really does. I mean,
so
I love you. I love you, Junior.
Yeah.
But I'm not a Superman fan, so...
I'll say this, man.
But
Junior's been Marvel forever. Well,
Junior's whole family.
I know.
The Romita family is a Marvel family.
Yeah, totally.
And you know what? His quote was, "Staying at Marvel, I would have been doing the same stuff character-wise."
Yeah.
He said, "DC and Marvel are like Coke and Pepsi." I think he was just looking for something different. He's going to be starting his run on Superman issue 32 out this week.
The
art is awesome and fantastic. But that's pretty significant.
That is a pretty significant. That's like when
to a casual person it means nothing.
Right. Also, it's like when the Kubert brothers went over whichever way they went. I don't remember which way.
That's
it was.
A really innocuous comment, by the way. Marvel and DC are like Coke and Pepsi.
Yeah.
Yes.
Oh. Sometimes you have Coke.
The two large competitors are the two large competitors.
Sometimes you have Coke, and sometimes Coke is not available, and you have Pepsi.
No, Coke is always better.
Yeah, and I was going to say, I don't think...
If there's no Coke, you drink water.
I don't think Junior would have had a hard time finding books to work on at Marvel.
Anywhere.
I truly believe he just maybe wanted to try something creatively.
Anywhere.
He heard about the new creator-owned program.
Yeah, maybe.
He could have went anywhere. He could have went to... Those ones that produce the hot girl, like
Xenoscope.
Yeah, exactly. He could have went there. I mean, he could have went anywhere, you know, and it would have been huge.
So I think that's pretty significant.
Yeah,
that's
friend of this program,
and I might check it out just because of his artwork.
Sure.
So we'll see.
Perchance.
Not related to comic books themselves, but related to the comic book world. The Flash, which is coming out October 7th, I think they announced.
Is that what's coming out for you guys?
Yes.
Because it came out for me today.
It came out for you and most of the internet today.
Wow, what happened?
Indeed.
The pilot leaked online.
Oh, boy.
It did indeed. I don't really know how to ethically feel about supporting something that got leaked.
I think it's kind of shitty, but in that regard, I'll probably watch it.
Let's put our ethics aside.
Yeah.
And let's talk about if it sucked.
It didn't. It didn't suck. But I will say, I definitely need to see episode 2 to decide if this is going to be a show.
It suffered pilot syndrome.
It has classic pilot syndrome. A
lot of exposition.
Well, here's the problem with...
A lot of everything,
apparently. Here's the problem with that. It shouldn't suffer from classic pilot syndrome because they've laid groundwork, a little groundwork at least, in Arrow.
But they have to remember, they have to assume...
That you haven't seen Arrow.
That not everyone may have seen Arrow. There are people who refuse to watch that show that are Flash fans that are going to watch Flash.
Because they just keep seeing the ads of naked men.
Of course.
Right.
Right.
Fucking ad department.
I know.
Don't understand.
Terrible.
Yeah. They're not naked. They're topless.
Yeah, they might as well be.
Where's Katie Lutz topless?
Where's Katie Cassidy? I'm just saying.
The equality.
That's what I'm saying.
Agreed.
But anyway...
Yeah, so it's pretty good. It's pilot syndrome. It tries to cram everything about the show and try to surprise you in 42 minutes.
Right.
45 minutes, I think it is. And it just can't do that. Knowing a little bit more about the characters because of watching Arrow, you know, the Star Labs guys and all that kind of stuff, and liking him kind of as Flash from Arrow, I like it. I'm excited. I want to see the next episode.
Right.
Standing alone, not knowing any of that stuff, not with the couple of hooks that they put in, I don't know how I feel about the pacing of it, that kind of stuff. So, you know, we really just got to see. I'm glad that it's greenlit. I'm glad to see where they're going with this. They do call him, by the way, I will spoil this for you now, because as we know, they don't like using the actual names of characters. They call him Red Streak. on the news.
Oh,
just
yeah.
colors and random yeah. words. I don't what the fuck.
I'm sure he
on.
Will well, obviously
I think he's
going to
be called the Flash,
Flash because the name of the show is the Flash.
Yeah,
show.
Yeah. But it's definitely I honestly I would wait till October.
Yeah.
So you could see the next episode the following week and see if it's something you want to watch.
I suspect that if it wasn't already in the works, that as a result of this, it will become a reality, that this pilot is going to screen at San Diego this year.
That's probably what it's for.
That's what I think. I think someone got a hold of it in preparation for San Diego, which is only a couple weeks away at this point.
Yep.
And once you put it in one person's hands, it's only a matter of time before it's on the internet.
That's definitely what it's for. Because, I mean, on it, it is watermarked pretty heavily. The
yeah.
CW for promotional use only, not for review or whatever. And the only thing promotional use is for review. So if
right.
it says not review, I think the only thing is a fan screener event or San Diego
right.
or, you know,
that's
that,
what I
that
think.
Kind of thing. So I don't know if I feel comfortable recommending that you go check it out because of the nature of it. But if go Google it, I'm sure it's easy to find.
Right.
Yep.
Okay. Let's move into product. Do you guys have any product this week?
No, but I know you do.
I do. I have two things, actually.
Show us.
This is actually something I got at the Blood Type Positive show. This is a guy, or I should say a kid, who has had a piece in the last couple Suburban Vinyl shows. And he's at every single show. His dad actually had a piece in the show as well. Jacob Jam Siegelbaum.
Oh, yeah. Right? Jam Siegelbaum.
Yeah. And so this was his Zombie Dropping Jaw release. There are three variations on this figure. It is hand-painted, hand-sculpted in resin. There are three variations, glow-in-the-dark bodies, glow-in-the-dark eyes, teeth, and brains. And there are two chase figures. As it happens, I actually got a chase.
No.
So
you never
that.
Get a chase, OG,
hey,
all the
listen.
Goddamn time.
Hey, look. All legit. I reached into a bag and pulled one out, and it was the chase. But, you know, he's a hardworking kid, man. At 13, he's got more artistic talent than most. He puts out product that I think is actually appropriate for sale. And I say that because there are some guys out there that call themselves artists that put up their product for sale that is not worth the material that they cast it in.
Wow.
Right? And then there are some guys out there that excel at what they do. And then
yep.
there are guys that are clearly learning the trade and yeah. still putting out quality product.
And this kid would be one of those. At
absolutely.
13, 14,
at 13,
whatever he is.
I think he's got a lot of great talent.
Yeah.
I think going forward, he's got a good future doing this. I'm impressed with the piece. I like the piece. You should definitely check his stuff out online. He has more of these for sale on his website. I think if you go to... I don't know if it's jacobjams.net is his website.
So I got a suggestion for this lovely.
Yeah,
you should make a line of candles.
Yeah.
Based on this design.
Like just not, like put a wick in them, cast
yep,
them in beeswax.
I'm not joking.
Sculpt them in beeswax and put a wick in them.
I think you would sell a shit ton of those all over the place, like Spencer's Gifts and all those places. I think those would make awesome candles that people would buy.
Absolutely. That
hey,
actually
man,
might be a great
idea. He's not
going to
sell out, man.
Upscale it. Upscale
yeah.
it like two times maybe.
Yep.
So it's slightly bigger.
Sell
and put
it as a candle.
Yeah. And look, if he could sculpt in clay and cast
shows.
In resin, he could
yeah.
sculpt in beeswax, which yeah. means he can make a candle. So
yeah. I'm just saying.
Check out his website again.
You
it was
just
what,
wanted
Jacob
to sell out, man.
And check out the Zombie Dropping Draw. Great piece. And, you know, check out his pieces in the Suburban Vinyl shows. They're always
You're
fun.
You're a cog, man. You're a cog in a wheel, man.
The other piece that I have, which this is not new, but we did not talk about them on the show.
No, and what's interesting about these, why don't you say what they are, and then I'll say what's
this
I think
is the
interesting.
Kid Robot Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles. What is that, 4-inch? 3-inch?
No, that's... Probably 2.5, 3
yeah,
maybe.
It's probably 3. It's probably same scale as a Dunny. 3-inch action figures. This is the Ooze Action Glow in the Dark Series Donatello figure. So I did not get the whole line. I did get just Donatello.
But let's talk about that. Because this is actually a blister card
that's right.
version of this piece, which Kid Robot doesn't do very often.
Well, there are changes to the piece. So
well, let's talk about it. There's right. a blind box series,
correct,
of these characters.
Yep.
And then there's these carded versions
right.
that are slightly different,
right.
than the blind box versions. There's actually more characters available in the blind box than there is in the blister.
I believe that's correct.
In the blister, there's the four turtles, Splinter,
and
Shredder. I know there's at least three or four others.
There's Bebop and Rocksteady.
Bebop and
the
there's
blind
also
box.
Krang because Selena
yes.
pulled. Krang out of a blind box, and I now owe her dinner. And while I owed her a ride home, I drove her to the train station because I bet her she wouldn't pull a Krang, which is apparently a hard one to get. And she pulled a Krang. I almost had a stroke. But yeah, but what's funny about it, I think what OG is going to say is, I actually like the blistered turtles better than the blind box.
I like them a lot better for a couple of reasons. A, I like
they're not blind boxed.
They're not blind boxed. B, I like the accessories and the extra accoutrement.
Accoutrement.
And I actually think they look good packaged.
Aren't the eyes? Don't they always have dots in the?
So the blind box ones have pupils.
Right.
And the blistered do not
have
the
white, which
is much
classic.
More traditional.
Yeah, totally.
Great figure though.
Yeah.
Again, I will probably only get Donatello in this line. I may eventually get the rest of them. They are only $9.99 a piece, so I may at least finish out the turtles. We'll see. I like them. They're good. They're cute. Hopefully next week I'll have steampunk Donatello from the movie line. But, oh, you know what else I wanted to say? Kid Robot picked up another license that's coming out soon.
Yeah.
That I think is potentially very dangerous for collectors.
Yeah.
Mega Man.
Oh, God.
That is really... Now, I'm a big Mega Man fan. I love that game. But could you just think of the number of characters they could put out?
That's kind of probably... Mega Man in a bunch of different colors.
Well, that's what... Well, there's that at least.
But
not
only
there's
just
a
Mega
number
Man,
of characters.
But think
no,
of
no,
all
I,
the
I
villains
mean, I
and
mean
stuff,
that
too.
Many of the
Woodman
other characters
and, like,
are Mega Man in different colors.
Yeah, yeah. But, right. So those will be the chases or whatever. But all the other villains and stuff like that...
That's true.
That's a potentially
are
very
gonna,
dangerous
Are they
line.
Making a new Mega Man game? Is someone going to do
Mega
that?
Man X? Isn't there or something like that?
No,
or?
I think the creator is making another game that's kind of like Mega Man.
Yes.
But there's no actual
that is not
Mega
Man.
Game.
I don't know.
It's Mega Mon. It's Jamaican.
Jamaican.
With an H in it.
Is no, M O N.
Mega Mon.
Mega Mon.
Wow.
Got dreads.
That's awful.
You got like Predator dreads coming out of the top of the helmet.
Totally should do that. Just as a kit bash. Mega Mon. Why is no one? Why am I not making toys?
You can totally do him in the red, yellow, and green paint scheme.
Oh my God.
Sell him at the inner eye.
Mega Mon.
You can smoke out of him.
What have I done?
Mon. Let's find out what listener to this show is the first person to kit bash a Mega Mon figure.
Jesus Christ.
Contest.
That being said, I don't have anything else. You guys have anything else?
Nah.
No, nothing.
So, don't forget, you can check us out online each and every week over at BigKevsGeekStuff.com, where we have most of our episodes online. Check us out at Facebook, Facebook.com/BKGeekStuff.
Will I find episode 300 over there?
Guys, listen. I don't know. You cannot talk.
Listen.
Sorry.
Some people refuse to stop talking about this.
I'm
apparently
sorry.
You included.
You have,
the
I'm
mayor.
Sorry. I already had to respond to 2 cease and desist notices about this very
See?
Thing.
I'm sorry.
You're making him work.
And so I know a lot of people on the show don't think there's that much producing going on. But dealing just with the fallout from 300 has been enough fucking... That's why I wasn't at Suburban Final on Saturday. I had to deal with the fucking fallout and the police action.
Well played.
Next week, we will actually talk about a live show, which I believe we will be involved in.
I'm afraid of
coming up in... Or a live get-together, I should say, that we will be involved in coming in August.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, in Montclair.
Yeah,
it's
heard
awesome
that.
It's local. This is more like radio get-together.
Yes.
So we'll talk about that next week.
We're still on that platform?
We are still on that platform every Thursday.
Who's behind us?
I don't know.
We need a radio
war. You
want to
start a radio war?
We need a radio war.
It can't trickle over into live, though. I'm telling you, live is a whole other problem for us.
No, live is fine. I don't care about live.
Don't forget, you can check us out on Twitter, at BKGeekStuff, at ScapegoatGS.
Yep.
And at GeekStuffOG. You can call into the GVM line.
At 425-920-6050. Just wanted to make me look like an idiot. I think that's it.
Oh, Amazon. Don't forget to continue to support us through our Amazon affiliate link.
Yes, click on that, please.
Please, we like when you do that. It
and
helps
Amazon's
us
Amazon's great.
Yes,
and look.
And more importantly than ever, the PayPal donate button
that's
on the website.
Right.
More important than ever. Begathon coming soon with an entirely new theme.
Listen, furniture, whether for purchase or rental, could potentially be expensive.
Yep.
That's all I'm saying.
That's
all I'm saying.
If we even get there.
They spend a lot for those tablecloths. That's all I'm
saying. We're going to carry on our own. I don't
chairs. The whole nine.
I have a truck.
This year. Hopefully, fingers crossed.
Hopefully.
Good times.
But with that, Big Kev.
Yeah, I just want to say this is the perfect time to start a radio war
as
we lead into that live event.
Yes.
So we should really find out who's behind us and pick on them. Oh, so what you're saying is that we should end this episode of Big Kev's Geek Stuff OG the way we end all episodes, by saying good night, Eli Wallach, wherever you are.
And on that note, we cue the music.